are the voice of trucking.
Welcome to Key Up New York, the official podcast of the Trucking Association of New York. I'm Zach Miller, the Director of Metro Region Operations here for TANI, and I'm joined by...
Steve Babarakis. I am the foundation of the Shea Legacy... I'm the manager, rather, of the Shea Legacy Foundation.
And, you know, we have a lot to talk about today in terms of what the Shea Legacy Foundation does, the workforce development that TANI is working on. But as you, a longtime listeners and viewers know, we like to kick things off with an icebreaker. And today we're actually going to stay on theme with our icebreaker. So I'm curious, Steve, what was either, you know, your first job or the first job you remember? Just, you know, what you did when you were younger?
Oh my gosh, I had so many. My first job ever, I was 13 or 14 years old. And you ever been to a wedding or like a bar mitzvah or a big party where you go get your picture taken and then they roll the picture onto the refrigerator magnets and then they give it to you instantly? I was the roller. So I was like 13 years old at these parties, and these drunken people were coming over to me like, hey, I want my picture. So that was my first job. And then I had a ton of others from there. I worked at Target for a little while as like a cashier, worked at a car wash. When I was 16, I actually worked as a bar back.
Nice.
Which was an interesting experience in learning how to communicate with people. So there was quite a few throughout the years.
You definitely had various jobs where drunk people would just come up to you.
Yeah, yeah. Now that I think back on it, yeah. Absolutely.
It's good for podcasting, I think. It's that good experience.
I think it's helpful in a lot of different realms, to be honest with you. You learn how to deal with drunk people. I think you can deal with sober people a lot better.
I would agree with that. Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, I know I've mentioned it on a previous podcast, but in high school and in college, I worked for my dad. I did a lot of his paperwork, really organized the parking tickets, and we could have a whole episode on New York City parking tickets. We probably will at one point. But in addition to doing that, you know, so that's what I did for money. But then I also had some internships. And the craziest one was I actually had an internship for the New York City Parks Department. So I had government experience in New York City, you know, fast forward to what I do now. And the fascinating thing, which I didn't even know until very recently, was somebody who I work with now in New York City DOT worked in the same department. Wow. I did. Yeah, for that internship. It was crazy. I'm like, I knew she worked for parks. That's why we were at a press event. And I brought it up. I'm just like, hey, I don't think I told you this. She's like, no, I was in that office. And I was like, do you remember that woman? Yes, with the loud voice. Yep. So it was like, it's funny how it, you know, you're young and you're working and you don't know how it's going to translate, but it always seems to find a way to.
It does. I've said this to you before, but it's a small world and it's a smaller state in New York.
It really
seems like
is.
Everybody knows everybody, and it's good. You have those connections from when you were younger, but they translate to what you're doing now.
No, it's awesome. And so let's talk about what it is you're doing now. So if you can just give a really brief history of the Shea Legacy Foundation, and then we could talk about, you know, what we're going to be working on moving forward here.
Yeah, of course. So the Shea Legacy Foundation is essentially the Trucking Association's workforce development arm, is what I like to call it. We are a 501c3, so we're able to do some things that TANI is maybe not able to do as far as like coming at it from more of the philanthropic side, really. So we have a lot of different programs all designed to get people into careers in trucking, whether that's drivers and diesel technicians, which is obviously the biggest need in our industry right now. But then we also talk to folks who are looking to get into more of management roles in trucking, or dispatchers, or every trucking company is a business. So they need marketers and they need, you know, accountants and things like that. So we just want to get people, good qualified people, into our industry. The foundation was launched in 2021. It's named after the Shea family. It was a very influential family in the trucking industry for a long time. We did some work mainly through TANI staff for a couple of years. And then I believe it was July of the last year of 2023 when the TANI board kind of made the decision we need to do more with this. We had purchased a truck driving simulator, which we'll talk, I'm sure, more about And we were waiting on it still, but I think the board kind of just talked through, there's so much that we can do from a workforce dev standpoint. And our staff at Tanny is kind of always running in a million different directions. So let's bring on somebody that actually can commit to this full time. They're walking into the office every day and that's the first thing on their mind, as opposed to, I don't want to say an afterthought, but it can become that when you're in the mix of a million other things. So in July, I was already working for Tanny, as you know, as the program and events manager. And I've had a soft spot, I guess you could say. I've had a passion for what the foundation does since I started. And I spoke with Kendra about, you know, kind of moving into that role, and we interviewed, and it's been history from there.
Well, it's workforce development. It's also just engaging younger people. I mean, you could see by what you're wearing now, that just the engagement of young people, putting them on a solid path and a foundation for life, has been a passion of yours for, you know, certainly as long as I've known you, and I imagine for quite some time. So it really is such a natural fit there. And that speaks to the fact that, you know, you come in to the foundation, the mission is workforce development, and just so people are aware, following up on what Steve was saying, I think something like 1 in 29 jobs in the state of New York is trucking related. Right. And again, far beyond the driver and the mechanic, there's so much there. And trucking is also very much a meritocracy, where if you work hard and show that you want to move up, you will be moving up. So it's a great place for people from all walks of life to enter in so many different ways. But you came in with pretty much a blank canvas.
Right.
And taking a year, going around the state with the simulator, talking to people, you really carved out a really fascinating program that the foundation is going to be working on moving forward.
Yeah, very, very excited about it. And you're right. I think this first year, we obviously have had programs in place that we're running, but it was a lot about kind of getting a feel for where we fit in. There's mm-hmm. a lot of folks doing workforce development. There's a lot of folks doing workforce development specifically in trucking. We don't want to recreate the wheel. We want to find a way to fit in what's already being done, and kind of enhance that. So that's where the Inside Trucking program you're referencing comes in. We actually, it came from, I'll just give you the kind of brief history of where it started. And you were involved in some mm-hmm. of this as well, but for the listeners, the viewers, we were working with a group called MAKE, Manufacturing and Industrial
Innovation Council.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. They're based down in New York City. And we had been bringing the simulator around the state, and we had been going to career fairs. We had set up some things with just public schools where they would have their students come out and use the simulator, kind of do a survey of the students, find out who might be interested in the trucking industry, and then we would work with them. And MAKE reached out to us, and they have a program called Inside Industrial. And the purpose of their program is kind of what our program will be turning into, is to get students that have some interest in whatever the industrial field is, in this case, trucking, and get them onto the site of a company that's actually doing that, give them the ability to talk to people who are doing it day in and day out. And in our case, we had the benefit of also bringing down the truck driving simulator mm-hmm. so that they can get some real life behind the wheel experience. And I know you've talked about the simulator on the show before, so I won't belabor it, but it's a state-of-the-art machine.
Yeah.
We actually just put in an enhancement where there's now motion seats. So every bump you see on the screen, you're actually going to feel in your seat, and it's unbelievable. And drivers have been in it and speak very highly of it, but that's a little bit of a tangent. So we start working with MAKE, and we're putting together this program, and we end up hosting it at Sprague, their facility in the Bronx, longtime member of Tanny. It was an overwhelming success, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yes, 100%.
We had students from, I don't remember the name of the high school. Do you remember the name of the high school that came? It was it was 5 minutes from the Sprague facility in the Bronx.
It's like there's a name in my head that I know is wrong. That's why I don't want to say it out loud.
Yeah.
But was it Horace Mann? Hold on.
Regardless, I guess it's not necessarily important to the story. and Zach will look it up just so that because we're both like that. They had about 10, 12, maybe 15 students. I don't remember the exact number, come to Sprague. We set up a lunch for them. Half the students went on a facilities tour where they got a chance to speak with, I think, two drivers, a driver manager, mm-hmm. a dispatcher, some folks that are actually involved in another aspect of their business.
Yeah, the testing, the actual testing of the fuel blends to make sure it met the proper criterias.
Yep. So they really got like a nice overarching glimpse into what Sprague does on a daily basis. And then the other group would be in the simulator and they got to take rounds in different scenarios, actually, you know, simulated driving a truck, and then the group swapped. And it was great. We had some really, really good conversations with students. And what came out of that was actually one of the students was so interested, they ended up doing a summer internship at Sprague. And then I think they just got hired as an apprentice for the coming year. So I believe they're going to be in their senior year of high school, and they're going to be an apprentice part-time at Sprague as well. And that's kind of, it sparked in my brain, well, this is great, and this is MAKE's Inside Industrial Program, but why can't we do this mm-hmm. across the state? It's not the legwork wasn't crazy going into it, this is something I can do. And we have all these connections through Tanny. So I said, Inside Industrial, that's a good name. How about Inside Trucking? And so that's where that came from. So we're really, I wouldn't say rinse and repeat. There are some aspects of what we're hoping to do that might be slightly different from what they do. But that's our plan, is to launch the Inside Trucking program in the fall.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. That event was incredible. I can't find the name of the high school, of course. As soon as we click off on the recording, it'll come to me. That's how that works. But it was amazing to see the passion that these students had in the trucking industry and then all aspects of it, where, you know, we had a couple of just talking to us being like, yeah, I really just want to be a mechanic. Like, that's what I want to do. I always just felt really comfortable with my hands, and I just want to work on these vehicles. And the thing that's key, and this is where, you know, so glad to have such a focus on it in Inside Trucking. I guess there are two things, but a big one is their teacher was just as passionate as they were, right, and just as excited to show them the facilities, to get them in the simulator, to have them talking to companies like Sprague that are looking to hire them. That is not necessarily uniform throughout the state. So, you know, identifying those teachers, those counselors who have that passion and can steer the children in that direction is really fantastic. And, you know, to that end, starting them younger, yep, right? Like, it's not like going to necessarily the career fairs where people are a little bit old, you know, not old, but older and had some more work experience, where it's just like, let's get them when they're young, excited about the work they could be doing.
And part of it, I think, is it's going to have to be a shift in the mindset mm-hmm. of folks in our industry of some of that work is not going to be instant payout. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be instantly you find this person and in the case of that Sprague intern, that's great. I mean, they had an intern for the summer and maybe that person stays with them. That's not always going to be the case, but it's still important because I like to use this phrase, it's planting that seed. Mm-hmm. It's showing them that, and even if it's sitting in the back of their mind for the next 5 years, it's showing them that trucking is a viable industry, getting drivers to talk to them about how much they love their jobs. And we hope as we go to these facilities that drivers are talking about all the aspects of their job that they love, because everyone has an aspect of their job that they don't like, obviously. But, you know, we're putting that seed in the back of their head. And when they get to that point of choosing a career, or maybe they try something and they're changing their career, the payout might be 10 years down the road, but it's still important work worth doing.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like really, really glad, right, to see the employer, like the Sprague, really excited about it. Like I think Sprague was more excited about this event than anybody. Oh, yeah. And those were the email so I was just like flipping through. It was like, oh yeah, they were so on board. And it's like, you know, nobody is going to just walk into a company and be excited in and of themselves, right? It's like you walk into someone's home. It's like, you know, you want to feel welcome. You want to feel, you know, like you're an invited guest. And having the employers have that mentality throughout the state is another like part of this that we can really focus on. You know, I think that was one of the missing pieces that we've had for a while, which is where we're seeing some of the labor challenges that we're seeing in our industry.
It's huge. And I would say, because the audience of this show is mainly fleets, I would say, is TANI members who are representative of fleets. And we need fleets to be involved in this program. That's the one thing that we're kind of reaching out to fleets right now and finding them from across the state that can be involved. Excuse me. And the one thing I would say as sort of a pitch is the other aspect of it is it gets your employers excited about what they do. There's not many times where you get to share with the younger generation all of the things about your job that are awesome, all the things that make it great, all the things that you love about coming into work every day. For drivers, it's I like to use this phrase, you have your temperature-controlled office, and you don't have somebody over your shoulder telling you what to do, looking at your screen. You are driving, in some cases across the country, in some cases locally, and you are in full control of your day. And to give them the chance to kind of think about that, I think it can help with some employee satisfaction and just getting them excited about what they do. That's another aspect of it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's anywhere, right? It's so easy to get jaded. Like, it's so easy to fall into a routine and get jaded. And it's always good to have that dose of reality and optimism and just sort of enjoyment. And Inside Trucking is going to give that all across the state.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the other piece of Inside Trucking that I should mention is, in addition to students coming onto the site of fleets, where in some cases we may be limited to 10 or 15 students, or, you know, we want to keep it safe, obviously. We'd also like to get some of our TANI member fleets onto the site of some of these public schools across the state as well. Just again, it's exposure. It's getting your company name out there. That in some regards, that's a little bit of free marketing. And it's getting, you know, an even greater number of students into the simulator and the ability to talk to some of your staff. So that's kind of the other side of this program that we're launching.
Yeah. There was that really great video you did where I think you took the simulator to a school in the capital region, and this girl gets inside and she's just like aces it. And she's just like, oh yeah, my grandfather was a truck driver. Like it's just incredible. Like you don't know what to expect going in, right? And then you just see the way these kids start interacting with the equipment and the simulations. And it just like their mind, like you see it happening in real time. It's the coolest thing.
It is. And it's the really cool part about it is you see that girl specifically. So her grandfather was a driver. Her father was a driver. Like all of her family was in the trucking business. And her mindset still, despite that, was, oh, these things are huge. I could never operate something like that. When I say the girl was flawless, it was unbelievable how well she did with the simulations that we threw. It was in her blood, obviously.
Yeah.
But she got out of there and she's like, oh, I think I could maybe do this. And she had never thought that before. So that's why the simulator is so cool, is it's eliminating some of those barriers, some of those fears that people might have seeing this giant 18-wheeler or this, you know, whatever it may be, coming, this big dump truck coming down the street and saying, I could never drive that. That's too big. I would be too scared. I couldn't operate that. They get to do it safely and they get to see, oh, I maybe could.
Maybe I can do it. And I had a lot of people, because, you know, they know what I do. And they're like, hey, have you ever driven a truck? I'm like, no, but I've driven the simulator. And they're like, well, that's not the same. I'm like, it's more complicated than you think it is.
It is. Yeah, it is. And it's not.
It's not the same.
It'll never be the same. There's no way to make it the same. But like I said, we've had so many different. And the other thing that we do with it, and it's not really involved with the program that we're talking about, is we bring it onto our TANI member fleet. So if you're a member fleet and you want to utilize this, it's another free, completely free aspect of your membership, member benefit. But we've had hundreds at this point of drivers get behind the wheel. And sometimes they first get behind in the first minute or so, they're like, yeah, I don't know. And then by the time they get out the seat, they're like, oh, wow, that's very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
That's 95% of the feedback we get. And the other 5% might be a driver that thinks that they can drive standard and haven't done it in 20 years and get upset. So it happens. I'm not calling out anyone specifically, but it happens. But no, 95% of the feedback we get is that it is as realistic as it could possibly be. The only thing is you can't look behind you and see what's on the road because it's just the other end of a 24-foot trailer. But yeah, no, it's great for a lot of reasons. And then as the simulator is kind of showing these students that, hey, this is something that I could do, we also have staff that are obviously there, and this is what we do. A gentleman, Vincent Donito, Rusty Stetzel, who works for the Trucking Association, and myself are at all of these events. So we are talking to these students about other elements of the industry, about, hey, the starting salary for a driver in this country is over $63,000.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through CDL training, which we can help you pay for, another aspect that we won't talk about today. And you can be making over $60,000 in the snap of a finger. And if you want to be over the road, you can make a lot more than that. It's funny, as we go to public school, sometimes we'll tell teachers that, and they're like, oh, crap, I might need to make a career change. I didn't realize that you can make that much money.
No, seriously. And it's it is fascinating, right? Because then there's also – and there are opportunities to have free CDL training. But even then, you know, the cost of a CDL out of pocket versus the cost of a four-year college degree out of pocket, I mean, it's night and day to then – I've seen what some of these entry-level jobs are paying, and that, I'm talking about New York City, right, where things are a little bit on the higher end. No entry job comes close to $60,000 at all, and with your mountain of debt on top of it. It really is something that, you know, the more we talk about the pay and the opportunity, you see the wheels start moving, being like, you know, I may not have been going down the road I should have been. Let me course correct here.
Oh, absolutely. And then the other aspect of it is what you mentioned earlier. And a lot of what we're saying, we're preaching to the choir of our audience, mm-hmm. but here's a plug. That's why it's important to share this podcast with other folks and just kind of, you know, get information about our industry out there. The more that we can get it out there, the better we're going to do. As it's reaching young people or people looking for career changes. But the other aspect is exactly what you said. You know how many members we have that are on our board of directors that are in senior leadership, C-suite level positions at their organizations, big and small, that started as a driver or started as a technician that don't have that four-year degree, mm-hmm. or maybe their company had them go back and they paid for their four-year degree, but they went the route of, hey, I'm going to start off and at the time, maybe it wasn't $60,000, but I'm going to make good money immediately and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to show my competency and I'm going to move up. There are countless cases, and that's another thing that we can talk to students about, and we can show them specific examples of, hey, I can call this guy on my phone right now. He started as a diesel technician and now he's running the entire sales operation mm-hmm. for this major corporation. It's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. It really is one of the last, you know, great meritocracies that we have here, especially, you know, in terms of big industry in the state of New York. And I just feel like that's another thing that came out of the Sprague event was you had some of these students, you know, really excited. Hey, I want to work with my hands. This is what I want to be doing. And a couple saying, you know, this is really interesting. I could see myself working here at some point, but, you know, my parents do want me to go the four-year college route. And it's like, yeah, it's not one or the other. It is both. It is you could do what you want. And that's exactly what we've seen. You know, we have the testimonials of people starting working. The company encourages them to get that degree. They go through that degree. You don't have to get a four-year degree starting at the age of 18. You know, it's and with online classes and stuff, there's so much more flexibility built into the system, which is fantastic. And that's another thing, like, hey, talking to these kids, it really helps them plan out a future that would work for them more than, you know, a cookie cutter type of thing.
It does. Yeah. I think we had the student at this break event. You were talking to him quite a bit, and I think I joined in the conversation at lunch. He was the student that he personally really liked working with his hands. Mm-hmm. He potentially wanted to be a diesel tech or mechanic of some sort at the time. And his parents wanted him to go to college, and he had really good grades and he could get into a 4-year school. And we were like, you know, you could do both. Yeah. You could be in this industry with a 4-year degree. And he's like, really?
Yeah.
I could still do something. Absolutely. Yeah. You can. There's countless opportunities. And the more that you are able to do and more that you are able to demonstrate that you have the ability to do, the better off you're going to be, the higher you're going to rise.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So if somebody, whoever's watching this, they could be an employer. They could be a representative of a school. Maybe they're just a fleet that wants to take the simulator for a spin. How would they get in touch with you and the Shea Legacy Foundation?
Reach out to me. Give me a call. Send me an email. I don't know if we're able to link it on the video. If you're watching on video, we can probably do that. But it's steve@nytrucks.org. Or you could call the TANI office here, 518-458-9696. Think, hopefully.
That sounds right.
If not, it'll be on the screen. And yeah, just give me a call and let me know how you want to be involved. We also have other programs. We do a jails to jobs program. So if you're interested in having formerly incarcerated people work for you, there's a lot of information about how great of employees formerly incarcerated people can be. And there's tax benefits for you as an organization. So you know, we work in a lot of different realms. So if you want to be involved in anything we do, our website is actually going to be launched in the next day or so. So you can also go to shealegacy.org, and check out more about what we do right on there. But whether it's inside trucking or any of the programs, we would love to have anyone involved.
Steve, thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks for all the work that you do to really get the workforce development up and running and make sure that people all across the state have access to the great careers that we offer here.
Thank you. Zach, to close, you can close, but my last tidbit is I thought we were going to go off on so many more tangents because anytime you and I talk, I don't even know what we're going to end up talking about, whether it's sports or pop culture or whatever else, but we did pretty good of staying on track here. So I'm proud of us.
I'm very impressed. And just so you guys know, there's actually nobody behind the camera right now. It's just the two of us in the studio. So I think that makes it even more impressive that we didn't go on some crazy tangents here.
Yeah, our bosses will be impressed that we stayed on topic. So thank you very much, Zach. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And we'll see you next time on Key Up New York.
We are the voice of trucking.